Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Daniel chapter 9 verse 25 titled, The Commandment to Restore and Rebuild Jerusalem. The study of the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel is one of the most important studies in the life of a Bible believing Christian. Of course, it's not a matter of salvation, but it is a matter of great importance to your understanding of God's Word and God's plan of the ages in regards to Bible prophecy. It will make you excited about the times you live in and excited to serve God and preach the gospel to the lost while we still have time to do so. Now, we're taking our time to consider carefully every phrase and to cover as much detail as possible in our examination of this incredible Bible prophecy. Too many times, even teachers who have a sound interpretation of this passage, they seem to be in some kind of hurry, and they just sort of skip the rocks across the pond instead of really taking a close look at to not only see what we know to be true, but also to give some reasons why we reject the other interpretations that are out there among the heresies and cults. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, titled, The Commandment to Restore and Rebuild Jerusalem. This is part one of two. You can turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. While you turn there, I'm going to share with you a little letters. A letter we love, from the letters we love, I guess you'd say. From the letters we love satchel. Lady from England. She says, I am not sure if you are the guy who makes the street preaching signs. I am. But I found your videos yesterday when I was looking up street preaching. And they were so great. Oh, shucks. They were by far the best videos, and you even showed how to make the sign. I'm just going to, you know, don't be too humble about it, but I don't have a lot of competition out there, you know what I mean? Signs, street preaching. But anyway, she says, I thought your Turn to Jesus to Be Saved Today one was so good, I have ordered exactly the same. Then I looked in our local hardware shop and found plastic pipe, and they cut it for me, and they also sold the elbow connectors pretty cheaply. They'll do the same thing at Lowe's if you want to make your own sign. So I was thrilled with the result. Let me tell you a bit about myself. My name is Carolyn. I have 9 kids. That's a church growth program right there. Not putting pressure on anybody, just saying. 6 of them are saved, born-again Christians, and we go to Oxford Baptist Chapel in Oxford City in the UK. It is one of the literally last 4 or 5 King James-only independent Bible-believing churches left in the whole of the UK. I think there are more, but not particularly with this group that's called Crown Christian Heritage Foundation or something like that, who are over there planting Baptist churches. But she goes on to say, there are so few of them left you wouldn't believe. Most churches here are evangelical, pop band, NIVASV. Well, that's a quinky dink, isn't it? Versus so-called churches. I actually think our pastor, Pastor Derek Moreland, is from Ohio. Yeah. Oh. She closes by saying, we are seen as weirdos in England. Amen. Nobody really does much street preaching here, but we won't give up until our Lord Jesus Christ returns for his saints, which could be any day. Amen. God's blessings on you all in Ohio. Much love and thanks again for your brilliant ideas. Oh, shucks. From your sister in Christ, Carolyn. Actually, I stole every idea I've got, but we put them to good use. But she sent that on March 26. Carolyn in the UK. God bless you. All right, we are in, as I said, Daniel 9:25 study. We're titling The Commandment to Restore and to Rebuild Jerusalem. I want to say one thing. I'm not saying this to put anybody down. I'm saying it as a matter of fact. I'm saying it because I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. If you don't understand what we're studying in Daniel 9, verses 24 through 27, you're a novice. So don't go around correcting everybody on what the Bible teaches about Bible prophecy, because this is the key. You don't understand Bible prophecy if you don't understand Daniel 9:24-27. I say that mostly for the benefit of those people watching online who constantly send me emails to correct me. And within one or two exchanges, I find out these people, no wonder they're messed up, because they don't even understand the most important Bible prophecy pertaining to Bible prophecy in the Bible. And that's why we're going verse by verse. God wrote the Bible that way. That's the way you should read it. That's the way you should teach it. That's the way you should study it. That's the way you should preach it. And we're going to go phrase by phrase, because you need to understand what all this means. Now, on our little title page here, that is Artaxerxes I of Persia. And we're going to talk more about him in a minute. That's actually the representation of what he supposed to have looked like. That was on his tomb. They found his tomb. And so we'll come back to that in a little bit as we read. Go ahead and read verse 25 with me. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now, in order to have a good, thorough Bible study, we need to begin by consulting our New Version translators. Is that the name of Cousin Eddie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it does. How many of you heard of the NIV? This is the verse we just read now. Okay? The verse we just read. This is what the NIV says. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler comes. I have trouble reading it because it doesn't make sense. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. Now, notice in your King James Bible, there's no mention of a trench. Notice also that, let me ask you, there's this book out there by Gail Ripplinger called New Age Versions, where she shows the New Age infiltration into the new Bible versions. And let me also tell you this, every new version comes from the same text. That text used for the new versions, except for the New King James we were talking about earlier, is the United Bible Society's text. There are two very influential men who saw to it that all your new Bible versions at the bookstore down there came from Codex Vaticanus. That's the Catholic Greek Bible, Codex Vaticanus. Those two men were a Jesuit cardinal named Martini. If you know anything about Jesuits, you know what that means. And Pope Francis, the first Jesuit pope in the history of the church. His name was Jorge Boglio or something like that, before he changed it to Francis. Your loved ones who are using the NIV, ESV, New American Standard, whatever, they're using a Catholic Bible produced from the Catholic Greek Bible that was pushed on the church by the Catholic Pope and Cardinal Martini. That's why you see such bad differences between your King James Bible and your NIV and your other translations. But there's it should really bother people. Because Jesus isn't just the Anointed One, He's the Messiah. And what a lot of the cults try to do is convince you that you're the Christ, that you have the Christ consciousness, that you're anointed. That's the whole New Age thing, is that we're all Christ's. And we have to tap into the Christ consciousness. And all the new versions placate that. Here's the CSB from the SBC. Now, that's the SBC is the Southern Baptist Convention. They originally came out with Holman Christian Standard Bible, HCSB. But then they revised it and decided, we're just going to call it the Christian Standard Bible. Because if you're a Christian, we're the standard. That's what they're trying to push. Baloney. They should change it to the Christian Standard Baloney. But it reads similar to the NIV. But it says, know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until an anointed one. They water it down to even, at least the NIV said the anointed one. Now it's an. There's more than one. The ruler will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be rebuilt with a plaza and a moat. But in difficult times. Now just look at this. Look at the NIV. I didn't even mention this. From the time the word goes out, like it's just, you know, some rumor or gossip or something. It's a commandment. It was a decree. At least they got that part right in the CSB. It wasn't just the word going out. The ESV is the most popular Bible in the churches today. It's taken over the NIV.
Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that's nonsense. That's not what it says. And build Jerusalem to the coming of an anointed one. There it is again. There shall be 7 weeks. Then for 62 weeks it shall be built again with squares and moat. But in a troubled time. I got to show you one more. We call it the mess. Otherwise known as the message. You know when you read that, you will either laugh or want to rip it in shreds. It's so stupid you want to laugh, but then you're like, this is supposed to be God's word. Here is what you must understand. From the time the word goes out to rebuild Jerusalem under the coming of the anointed leader, there will be 7 sevens. The rebuilding will take 62 sevens, including building streets and digging a moat. Those will be rough times. It's just ridiculous. Now, let's just say, all right, let's just look at this. They said a trench or a moat, right? And all of them. There was no trench or moat around Jerusalem until 1,000 years plus after the death and resurrection of Jesus. See, that's why I tell you, the King James Bible is the Word of God. The new versions contain the Word of God. In places, it's right. But they also contain error. And right there, they injected an error. Nehemiah and Ezra did not dig a big ditch around Jerusalem. Well, you want to call it a trench or a moat. The Crusaders did that. And they never did fill it up with water. Not much of a moat. You know, the whole idea is there's a big deep water thing around there. You'd have to swim across it. They might even throw some gators in there. You know what I mean? Yeah. All they did was just dig a big trench. So anyway, that's how dumb those new versions can be. They actually inject error into them. So there you go. Thanks for nothing. So having established the King James Bible is our authority, and the 70 weeks, if we weren't here last week, the good news is we upload these within a couple of weeks of be online, and we discuss why the 70 weeks are 70 weeks of years. And some of the cults and false teachers through the years have led people astray because they don't get that down. We went line on line, phrase on phrase throughout verse 24. But we determined that it would be 77s of years. And that totals 490 years. There was an established week of years for Jews already. They were already talking like that. People, you would just say a week, and they could tell by the context as they talked whether they were talking about years, like a week of years, or a week as in, you know, to a Jew it would be Sunday through Saturday. And I want to read this from a guy named Alva J. McLean. He was a Bible teacher years back from Grace Brethren, was still using the King James Bible, and I think he was at Winona Lake, Indiana, is where he taught. He says, he explains, the Jews had a seven of years as well as a seven of days. And this biblical week of years was just as familiar to the Jew as the week of days. It was in certain respects even more important. 6 years the Jews was free to till and sow his land. Now listen, but the seventh year, solemn Sabbath of rest under the land. Man, the Jews, I mean, granted they couldn't eat bacon. I mean, you know, I feel bad about that. As a Gentile, we could eat all the bacon we wanted. And back then, you didn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that's in bacon today. You know what I mean? But the seventh year was like a big vacation. Doesn't that? How many of you have worked 6 or more years? Well, you got ripped off. You were supposed to get an entire year off. Yeah. There's certain things about it, and I believe in the millennium it's going to be like this again. In the millennium, they'll actually stick to it. because Jesus will be right there to make sure they do. But continue saying, upon a multiple of this important week of years, seven Sabbaths of years, there was based the great jubilee of social and economic adjustment every 50th year, when debts were wiped out. How many of you got some debt? You owe something on your house, your car, maybe even a credit card. Shouldn't be running those up. The interest rates on those is criminal. But people do, and sometimes they do so out of desperation or whatever. But try to get all out from underneath all that debt. But as a Jew, that 50th year, and for some of them, it was 50 years based on their calendar. So some of them, it was like 10 years later, and it would be the 50th year. Woohoo! Yeah. And people were forbidden from not loaning or helping you, just because in a year or two, it was going to be wiped clean. Just think about how nice that'd be. I mean, that's better than bankruptcy court. That's all we grant. We, Gentiles say, well, we'll let you make payments on it. Or, you know, and this is a whole lot better than that. Estates returned to the original holders. Slaves went free. It's all in Leviticus 25. It's a good book. You got to read it there. Nothing could be so important to the Jew as this week of years. So see, that's why you and I read this 70 years, 70 weeks are determined, and we have to have this explained to us. But Daniel and the Jews back then, man, he knew exactly what was going on. Didn't even have to explain it. Now, we begin verse 25, and he says, "Know therefore and understand." So many people have jumped in here, and they don't even know and understand where they're at. They don't understand what they're talking about. They don't nail down the 70 weeks. They don't nail down who thy people and thy holy city are. There are all kinds of Gentiles running around claiming the promises made to Israel. And a lot of good people do it. We talked about it last week or week before. I can't remember because my memory's shot. It says 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." That's not you. That's not the church he's talking about there. He's talking about the Jews. And the land he's talking about is what they're fighting about over on the Gaza Strip and the West Bank and Lebanon and all that in between. That's what he's talking about. And by the way, I mean, that thing's about that. That's a powder keg right now, ready to blow. And it very well could be setting up for the Gog-Magog War right now. I mean, a few years ago, I guess you say I got my hopes up. And it ended up being this big war between Hezbollah in the south of Lebanon and Israel. But it's all getting stirred up over there again. And, you know, now Trump's talking about taking our guys out. And if he does, guess who's going to come down? Meshach and Tubal from Russia. Right into Syria, which is right on the border of Israel on the West Bank. I mean, it's just setting up. So again, know and understand. When you watch the news, if you don't understand this stuff, you're just sitting there thinking, you know, wonder what that's all about. But if you know the Bible, you don't have to say that. You say, I know what that's all about. Amen. Don't you want to be one of those people who can sit there and say, I get that. I know what that's about. So the child of God should take note when God says, know therefore and understand. Paul likes to say this, I would not have you to be ignorant. Well, as a believer, you should take note. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. So when God tells us to know and to understand something, he means it. Put forth the effort, and with his help you will. You should memorize 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. That four-letter word, work. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Bunch of stuff in there. Study. It doesn't just mean to read a verse once in a while off of a bumper sticker. Study to be not ashamed before who? God. Work. Be a workman. And rightly divide. Rightly divide. That's a thing called dispensations. That's when you put the right thing in the right place. That's when you don't go back to 2 Chronicles and try to claim it for the church. Because it's not about the church. This is not about the church. Although we are affected by it. And we're going to see, throw this in there free of charge here for a moment. You and I are a parenthesis. We're a gap. We're not the main game. That's real foreign to Gentiles these days, but that's what you get when you read the whole Bible and rightly divide it. So let's break this down phrase by phrase. It says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. So you look at that and you say, well, wait a minute. If we're going to understand this, we have to know what he's talking about when he says there's going to be a commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. Right now, if you've paid attention to what I just read, you will save yourself a lot of heartache because there's a lot of teachers, and some of them, I'm not saying it's all cults and people, just people who aren't careful. And it doesn't say to rebuild the temple, does it? Look at your Bible. It says to restore and build Jerusalem. That's talking about the whole city. See, there was one wave of people who went to Jerusalem and all they did was work on the temple. You read about that in Ezra. And people get mixed up because that's when they start the countdown. Throws them way off. That's caused some people to say, well, this doesn't work out, so I give up. And then some of them then try to turn it into something totally different than what it really is. Listen to this closely. Error begets error. Error begets error. I've watched 30 years now, and I've watched people go off on something, refuse to correct it, and now they're off the deep end. Happens over and over. 30 years I've watched it. And so we need to know, what's it talking about? The commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. We must first establish the date of this commandment, because that's what we're talking about. So let's look at Nehemiah chapter 2. Keep your finger there in Daniel 9. And let's mosey on over to Nehemiah. I thought I had it marked. Nehemiah is right before Esther, if you're familiar with Esther. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, we're actually told the account of how this commandment went down. Beginning of verse 1 says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan. Now, you can be familiar with that. That's the first month. That's the month of Passover. The month of Passover doesn't always land on the same time on our calendar because our calendar is pagan. But it sometimes is in March and sometimes is in April. This year, Nisan 14 happened to coincide with what the Catholics call Good Friday. And so this year and next year, one of the few years where Good Friday was actually the anniversary of the death of Jesus. But then he wasn't raised on Sunday, Easter Sunday. He was actually raised after sunset Monday.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.